The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league. Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It's mailbag time. A Thursday mailbag instead of a Friday mailbag, but still tons of fun. And we have Dave here as well. Dave joining us on the mailbag. So Dave Richards is here. Are you honored?
No.
Jamie Eisenberg is here. And here's a man that both looks and sounds like he just woke up. Dan Schneier, ladies and gentlemen.
In what way do I look like I just woke up or sound like I just woke up?
What happened to the rest of Dan's hair? It looks like he got a little bit too short on the side there.
Can I ever get a good haircut on this show? Is anyone
turn
ever
your head a little bit more to your left, like your other left, Dan.
No, this way.
Oh, so like that way it looks normal, but like there's a certain angle where it looks
like half your head.
Also, the thickest beard I've ever seen you have. You totally look like you just woke up.
I'm growing it out. We're going to see what happens with this beard thing. I've been told don't touch it. Just let it grow. Let's see what happens. So we'll see.
I don't know what to tell you.
Am I pulling off the
show? I like it, and that's all that matters.
Is that all that matters? What'd you say, Dave?
Am I pulling off the Schneier hairstyle correctly now?
No, but you're looking to your left greatly.
You are looking to your left. Good job. That was a tough one. We shouldn't have thrown that at Dan. So
the camera it goes opposite ways, guys. I was looking to my left. You know what? Adam, do we need to bring up your diner experience already? Because no, I could get into that at any point.
Not yet. All right. We got a lot of your emails and tweets. I want to thank you for that. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com is the email address. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Want to remind you, just in case you weren't aware, it is Super Bowl week. You can stream wall-to-wall coverage with our CBS Sports HQ team of hosts, insiders, and analysts as they tackle the biggest storylines, interview the game's brightest stars, and keep you up to date with the latest betting odds and much more leading up to the best Sunday of the year. All right, so we got our crew out there in Vegas. They're doing a great job on HQ. Please check it out. Download the CBS Sports app. You can watch HQ on that. I've been watching it kind of just here and there throughout the day, just getting some great Super Bowl info, and also NBA trade deadline today, so plenty to look out for on CBS Sports HQ. Let's get to the emails and tweets. This one is from Nick D. If Saquon Barkley ends up in Houston or the Chargers, does he move back into the first round in a half and or full PPR league? Jamie, is Saquon a first rounder if he ends up with the Texans or Chargers?
No, but he'll definitely be a second rounder.
Do you think there's any chance he's not a second rounder if he's on the Giants or anywhere? Is there any scenario where Saquon Barkley is outside the top 24?
Yes, if he goes to a team that already has somewhat of an established running back or someone is sharing with him that's of significant talent. Let's say like the Dolphins decide to bring him in and he's sharing with Devon Achane, something like that.
Okay. What do you guys think?
If either Houston or the Chargers grab him, he'll move into that borderline round 1-2 conversation. And I just see him ultimately ending up being drafted there. Name brand is high. People know him. People have had him. He's had success as an RB1. Then he joins a great offense. That's like a recipe that usually pushes into that borderline 1-2 range. But if it's the Giants again and it's Jones again, it's probably, I would think, end of round 2.
All right, Saquon Barkley will be 27 years old. Dan, you know everything about the Giants. When will Saquon Barkley be 27 years old?
I don't know that
tomorrow
answer.
I do know
Daniel Jones's birthday, though. Same birthday as me.
Really?
How about that kind of irony? Yep.
Oh, how about that?
When it first happened, they drafted him, even though I had a horrible grade on him. Like, not a horrible grade, a second round grade on him. I was like, you know what? Maybe it'll work out. He has the same birthday as me. It's fate. I don't really believe in those kind of things, but maybe I can start believing in those kind of things. He'll bring us back to the promised land, Adam. And that maybe that hasn't happened, though. The truest believers believe in year six, he's going to have a breakout. So
Saquon Barkley turns 27 on Friday. He averaged only 3.9 yards per carry, but the last two seasons per game, he's been number 9 in 2023. And in 2022, he was number 5 per game. So he's been solid. And he was on the third lowest scoring team in the NFL last year with the third worst PFF run blocking grade in the NFL last year. Of course, the Chargers were worse, so keep that in mind. Houston, by the way, Dave, they were 31st in running back target rate. I don't know if that would change if they got a guy like Saquon Barkley, but they did not throw to their running backs. The Chargers were 25th. We've seen them be kind of all over the place. You know, it depends on Eckler and whatnot, but your thoughts real quick?
No, I think Saquon's going to end up being a second-round pick. I really liked how he did in games with at least 15 touches. He averaged over 18 PPR points in those games, so let's get him to a team that can commit to him, that can give him a lot of work. Remember, in 2022, he averaged almost 18 PPR points per game. I think he still has something left, so there will be some fantasy managers. They're going to say, oh, Saquon's too old, I don't want him. Or they'll say that Saquon, you know, he's injury prone, I don't want him. If he's in a good spot, I think he's a good pick, and I can't keep him out of my top 12 running backs at this point.
I'll say one final thing on Saquon before we move on, just because I do think volume wise, he will still be in play if what Dave said is right. But there are some underlying metrics that are concerning. His yards after contact per attempt are down over a half yard from his breakout season. His breakaway runs, those are just non-existent. He had 9 as a rookie of 40 plus in 2018. He had 1 last year and 1 this year. I actually had 0 this year of 40 plus. So I don't know if he's the exact same player he was from an explosive standpoint when he was kind of like a bigger version of CJ2K. And the yards after contact are also down. The success rate was also really bad this year. But how much of that is situation-based? And that's right. Kind of what we're getting at here.
Right. The offensive line that he plays with is clearly a factor. The Giants' offensive line was terrible.
Yeah. Yep. All right, let's wrap up on Barkley. I actually was going to mention the advanced metrics. I think maybe on Beyond the Box Score, when we were supposed to do that this week. We're going to do it in 2 weeks. A pretty unbelievably underwhelming advanced metrics for Barkley throughout his entire career, believe it or not. I mean, not in every metric in every situation, but we'll get into that.
What did you say about the show yesterday? Dan didn't wake up on time, so you had to scrap it.
No, that was not why we moved it. What the heck, Jamie? No. You don't even know. First of all, did you say that, Adam?
No, I didn't say that. Jacob Gibbs, he moved to a new apartment. He doesn't have Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Yeah, he needs to move it.
All right, Jamie.
And of course, Dan, being the hardworking guy that he is, he's going on vacation next week. All right, Michael Jacobs has our next question here. It says, where is the cutoff of drafting proven players this year versus rookie running backs and wide receivers? Example, Marvin Harrison Jr. goes after A.J. Brown, but before a Jalen Waddle type?
He's probably the only one that's going to sneak into the first 3 rounds. Maybe there's going to be
only
one of the top rookie receivers, but ooh. Or Bowers. But I would be surprised if no Bowers won't get drafted in the first round.
What if Neighbors goes to the Chargers? You don't think he'll sneak in?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
No, the first no. First
three rounds. Not first round. You're talking about first round. Okay.
No, he said first 3 rounds.
First 3 rounds.
I don't think. Jamie, Malik Neighbors goes to the Chargers. LSU wide receiver goes to the Chargers 5th overall. Is he going to be a top 36 pick?
No.
It's rare to find rookie wide receivers that. When was the last?
No, Harrison's going to have a lot of buzz, and if he goes to the Cardinals, for example, you know where there's an opening for a number one receiver, and you know still Kyler Murray playing at a high level. At least we hope. He'll be the one.
I'm curious,
and clearly the quarterbacks in super flex leagues.
Yeah, for sure they can sneak in. But if you're the Chargers and you draft one of these big receivers, if it's Odunze or Neighbors, I guess it's just a matter of like where's Mike Williams in his recovery? What do we expect out of Quentin Johnston? There is some opportunity there, I think.
There's a lot of opportunity, yeah. But it's also a Jim Harbaugh. You know, Greg Roman.
Yeah.
Not exactly the most enticing. So, yes, there's opportunity. But to say top 3 rounds, no. I think Harrison is the one that will be drafted and probably ranked somewhere close to the top 24, if not in the top 24. And a lot of buzz, a lot of excitement. You know, you've been hearing about him for 2 years now. And to be a number one receiver, potentially, that's going to be very enticing.
Oh man, what if the Chargers end up with Harrison?
How? Trade up?
Cardinals don't take him. That's all it's going to take is the Cardinals not taking him.
Then someone's going to trade up from him. Right, I'd bet anything he's not going. He's not going to be on the board at fifth overall.
Well, he'll probably be on. I wouldn't say probably. He'll probably be possibly be on the board at fourth overall. So it's not crazy.
That I think.
Fifth
is crazy.
Okay. Let's see
team trade up to get him.
Let's say Adunze or Neighbors goes to the Giants. Do they get drafted, Dave Richard, before a Steelers receiver? Would you take George Pickens or one of those guys on the rookie on the Giants?
If it's Neighbors, I might be talked into taking him ahead of ahead of Pickens, I should say. Catching passes from Daniel Jones. Okay. But Adunze, I don't think I would if he went to the Giants. And it's a close call between Neighbors and Pickens.
All right.
By the way, just as a aside, Adam, we both mispronounced Odunze's name in different ways. Dave got the right one, so we got to try to hammer that home.
Yeah,
Odunze. It's another Devon Achan kind of thing.
Except, yeah, I can pronounce that one, but yes. I also love the amount of Giants talk so far. Let's keep this going, guys. Great stuff.
Yeah, he's not here to police us. What do we care?
From Lee Haynes. I always try to get weapons from the best offenses. Are there any sleeper offenses for next season and specific targets? And then he gave the Bears as an example. Dave Richard.
Sleeper offenses for next year. I just
Chiefs,
went
about
back. Who?
That Jamie.
Who did he say?
He said the Chiefs will bounce back.
Here's one. I'm a football analytics nerd, and so of course I'm going to be a big fan of Zach Robinson going to Atlanta. Former Pro Football Focus data miner, former quarterback, now calling plays for the Falcons with a lot of good pieces there. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if that offense really kicked into high gear. And depending on what that team does at quarterback and what Tennessee does at quarterback, I'm a big believer in Brian Callahan. He's from the Shanahan McVay coaching tree. He's going to run an offense that will be nothing like what we've seen from Tennessee. So I'm mildly intrigued with what he does there. Those are the first two that come to my mind.
What do you guys think? Sleeper offenses?
I like to follow along the same guidelines Dave provided. What I look for is change in offensive coordinator and play caller. That can be an upgrade. To me, that's the biggest way to make that jump. Obviously, quarterback's another way to do it. So Dave mentioned two good offenses. The one I want to bring up is Shane Waldron. I just think, I know it didn't sound great when they asked Jackson Smith and Jigba. I don't know if you guys saw that clip about him as a play caller yesterday. It was like he had a long pause and it was awkward. But what do you expect? Jackson Smith and Jigba wasn't a big part of his offense and didn't get the ball a lot. So it makes sense. But I think he's a great play caller. And I love the way he designs shot plays for the quarterback. I think that from watching a lot of tape of Geno Smith, there's just so many good designs where there's either a max protect or extra guys in protection. And then he allows the quarterback to kind of roll into a spot in the pocket, find a landing spot and a foundation to throw from. And then open up a lot of downfield throws that he certainly did for Geno Smith, at least in 2022. So I'm excited about him adding a verticality to that offense. And I'm going to be excited about his offense.
And he's with the Bears now. So yep. That's okay. So Shane Waldron going from the Seattle Seahawks to now becoming the offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. Let me get your thoughts. Jamie, we didn't talk about this too much with Kubiak expected to go to the Saints. He's with the 49ers right now. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but when he was the offensive coordinator for the Vikings, they had a great season. Dalvin Cook had a great season. Justin Jefferson, that was his second year in the NFL. He exploded. Kirk Cousins, I believe, was the number 9 quarterback per game, something like that. I want to say it was about 4,500 passing yards. So you love guys coming from the 49ers. He's also got experience. He's did well there. The Saints don't excite you on paper, though. But what are your thoughts there?
Well, I mean, there certainly are some nice pieces there. You know, clearly Chris Olave and whatever's going to be left of Alvin Kamara as he goes to the twilight of his career at his age 28 season. Those two guys could still be very productive. You know, the other parts to this is Michael Thomas still there, you know, and how healthy is he? Rashid Shaheed, what he has to potentially offer. A.T. Perry, somebody I like taking a late round flyer on just because I think he's a big body receiver that can make some plays, certainly in the red zone. We saw that last year. And then we'll see what else they do. You know, are they going to add to their receiving core? Is it going to be you know, Juwan Johnson and Taysom Hill again at the tight end spot? Is it going to be, you know, some additions to the backfield? You know, Kendre Miller was somebody I was taking a lot of in keeper and dynasty leagues when he was available, just with the thought of if Kamara's done, you know, and he didn't really show anything. So it's hard to say there's a lot to, you know, base anything on there. But yeah, I mean, anytime you have, you know, I think that the sentiment is the same across the board. You know, you look at where there's talent and, you know, Dave brought up Atlanta. There's obviously a lot of talent there. You know, you could look at Washington, you know, and we'll see if Cliff Kingsbury's offense helps those guys. And certainly the quarterback helps those guys. There's a lot of pieces there that you like. So any of these situations where there's talent, and certainly there's still talent in New Orleans, but as Dave alluded to yesterday when talking about the hiring of Kubiak, it feels like this could be a one and done situation across the board, because if they don't make the playoffs, they could all be out the door in New Orleans.
I wanted to say Kendre Miller as a sleeper, and then because I really think his fit, it could be really good in Kubiak's system, just from watching, remembering some of what I watched of him at TCU on zone plays. But then I looked, and Alvin Kamara has like a dead cap hit of $18 million somehow next year.
Well, I mean, you know, he did battle some injuries at the end of the season, and as at his age, you know, you just wonder. It wouldn't be surprising if he works in as the second guy. And if you're starting to, you know, like we're going to try, we always try to say, oh, okay, who's the next this, who's the next that? He could be the next Kyren Williams. And it's not going to necessarily be the same path, because clearly Cam Akers was not what Sean McVay wanted. And we know that basically from the start, because he was never really enamored with him. And he did have the good stretch run at the end of his second year. But who knows how much the Achilles injury took away his production. But you're talking about guys that didn't do much in their rookie campaign, and then maybe get an opportunity. It may take 2 years for Miller, but remember, Kyren Williams did not play as a rookie for the most part because of a foot injury, and then got this opportunity the second year. Kendre Miller did not play very much in his rookie season for a variety of injuries. And if he ever gets an opportunity, I agree with you, Dan. The fit, I think, just is good in general. He's got speed. He's on turf. Yep. You know, it's going to be he's with a quarterback that will throw to his running backs. You know, so the fit could be fantastic, but he's got a little bit more of a roadblock in front of him as opposed to what Kyren Williams had.
All right, next question here comes from Tim from Let Dave Pick a Town in Pennsylvania.
Scatterboro.
Okay. Grade the off-season trade. 10-team, half-point PPR, 4 point per passing touchdown, super flex dynasty league. Okay, super flex, 4 point, half PP, 4 point per passing touchdown, half-point PPR. Give up pick 202 and Kyle Pitts. Get Kyler Murray and pick 308. He already has Fields and Lamar, but he has Sam Laporta at tight end. So give up pick 202 in a 10-team league and Kyle Pitts. Get pick 308 and Kyler Murray.
I like
and
it.
He has Fields and who?
Lamar Jackson. He's worried that Fields gets traded and becomes a bench player or something.
I mean, he could be a bench fantasy player. I don't see him being a bench player, at least in 2024. I mean, it's never a bad idea to have a lot of star power at the quarterback spot, especially in a 10-team league super flex. You know, so you are giving yourself probably the best quarterback situation in the league, I would assume. The question would be is, can you then maybe flip one of those guys, most likely Fields, to get something still significant at someplace else? Because Laporta is going to be your tight end.
So we like it. I'm going to give it a B plus.
I'm giving it an A because I just believe the value for Murray is much higher than Pitts, and you're not losing too much going from 202 to the 308 in a 10 team league. And I think Murray, look, we're so starved for quarterbacks in the NFL that even I don't really see any scenario where Murray's not going to be starting for a few more years at the very least. And then Kyle Pitts, it's like A. We haven't seen it yet. That's fine. I understand there's been some issues for that, the injury and also the system and the quarterback. But what they're bringing in now, if you look at the past, it feels like it's more going to be heavily, at least in my mind, it's going to be better for Drake London than for Kyle Pitts, the new system they're bringing in. And we'll see if that plays out as expected. But it scares
me for
sure. It's
not going to be bad for Pitts. It's just not going to be.
Nothing can be worse. Yeah, exactly. Right. It can't be.
It's not going to be maybe what we hope for. Really, it's going to come down to the quarterback. You know, I mean, and you just look at what he's had so far in his career. He had a guy that was a volume passer at the end of his career, really, in Matt Ryan, and, you know, threw the ball just all over the place. And that's why he had the targets and the opportunities that he had. Then he had three inept quarterbacks in Mariota, Ritter, and Heinicke, and in a bad system. So, I mean, on the surface, you don't want to give up Kyle Pitts, but when you have Laporta, you know, that's going to be the guy you're playing. Could you have gotten maybe more for Pitts? I doubt it. You know, especially in super flex. So I think he did really well.
All right. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we've got some Vegas questions, some Super Bowl questions, an Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams questions, a question, a thought on the Bears backfield, and much more. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This question comes from Eric from Twin Falls, Idaho. It's a three-parter. Let's go rapid fire. Ready? What is your favorite hotel in Las Vegas, and what would be your choice of game / gambling in Vegas?
Aria and Craps.
Wynn and 1-3 No Limit.
Dave, which hotel did you do your bathroom? Poker. Was it Wynn?
What happened?
Which hotel did you model your bathroom after? Was it Wynn or Aria?
Wynn.
Wynn, yeah.
The Wynn is so nice. I just live in the Aria because the poker, but I didn't know we could include poker. So I'm going to go Aria and the 5-5 PLO game of the Rock.
Oh, man. Crazy action.
Bellagio, yeah. And I'm just a blackjack guy. So blackjack.
I don't really have an answer to this. I forgot where I stayed. I've liked every hotel I've stayed at in Vegas. Honestly, like, loved that place.
And I'm probably staying at like the Luxor, and he's like, "Oh, it's just fancy."
I don't know what that means. But I've stayed off the strip. Where was the last place? It was a nice place. I went there for a bachelor party. Anyway,
do you gamble, Adam? Have you ever gambled?
I used to love it. I'm kind of over it. You know?
That's good for you. I'm really actually happy for you.
But I would play blackjack.
I wish I could get over it.
I'd find the $5 table so I could just stay there for a long time. You know,
you're going to got to go to downtown Vegas to find
a $5. You're going to Ellis Island.
Yeah, or Ellis Island.
If you could start an NFL franchise anywhere, where would it be?
That's a good question. It can't be anywhere that already is, right?
That's just someplace new.
Good Hawaii. Question.
Why?
I'm going to say Austin, Texas, even though there's already two teams in Texas.
I don't care.
This is interesting. I care. I have to think about it.
I don't care. If I'm starting an NFL franchise, I'll make $1 billion every year, no matter where it is. It can be in Scatterboro, Pennsylvania,
I'll tell you one thing I would do if I start an NFL franchise, no matter where I put it. I would, my stadium would be a dome. 100% a dome.
Oh, that is so lame.
Nope, I want offense, and I know my fans want offense.
Game in a
and
dome,
as an owner,
have you ever?
That's
been
not
to a
why
game
you
a
build
dome.
A dome, Dan.
Yep, I want offense, and my fans want offense, and I don't want to. I don't want to give them a cold weather, terrible team that can't move the football.
Oh, you're gonna
on the hot
horrible,
seat every year.
Cold based weather on, in based Austin. On,
based on Dan's studio, he would have the best toilets in any.
I'm going to build a dome in Austin, Texas, so we don't have cold weather in November.
You build a dome so you can have like the Final Four there.
63 degrees right now in Austin, by the way.
I need to think of like a good sports town, even if it's cold, and then put a dome there.
And here's the last question here. I know it's only February.
Is San Diego the right answer there? Like, don't they deserve a franchise?
Hell no. Those fans, I'm not putting in San Diego. Then I'm going to have no fans.
Matt, crapping all over San Diego.
Well, San Diego is like the greatest place in America to live. It's amazing, but that's why I don't want a football team there.
St. Louis.
Too many good things to do outside.
St. Louis, I like that. Nice. St. Louis.
St. Louis, that's the one. I put it in St. Louis. There it is.
Right, you can do a dome there. It's only February, but going off the drafts you've all have done, tight ends seem like they're getting pushed down quite a bit. Assuming that this is the case in 6 months, will this change your strategy at all?
We got to find out next week what's happening with 87. So if he's back, that changes the landscape a little bit of this. I spent some time talking to Evan Engram and David Njoku at the Pro Bowl about the position, Laporta as well. You know, just first thing out of Evan Ingram's mouth, when I said, "What do you think about, you know, how tight ends are?" He goes, Sam friggin' Laporta.
Really? So,
you know, just, and he did it today. He goes, somebody asked him, you know, just about the two tight ends playing in the Super Bowl. And he said, yeah, they're two of the best three. And I said, are you the third? And he goes, of course. Nice. And he said, I won't tell you the order. But in terms of the position, yeah, it's feeling very robust. You know, when you look at if Kelsey's back and Andrew's healthy and, you know, the two young guys that everybody's going to hype up in Laporta and McBride, and now we got Bowers coming into the league. By the way, the photo of Bowers at Radio Row standing next to Rob Gronkowski is hilarious. I recommend go looking it up. Thomas, if you want to grab it and show it, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, get it up.
But in any event, you know, the position is feeling pretty good, you know, and we did a draft on Tuesday with our audience. And I, with my two of my last three picks in a 14 round super flex draft. So take that into account, Cole Kmet and Jake Ferguson. Now, obviously they're not world beaters, but they're probably going to be in the top 12 or borderline top 12 for a lot of people. Both had very successful seasons. You know, I don't know if you want to take both of them. You want to take just one, but you know, that's 700 and eight touchdowns potentially. So, you know, good late round value. I think the position's in great shape.
I think it is too.
There were seven tight ends last year that averaged over 11 PPR points.
One thing that is a little bit.
Did he just go underwater there for a second? Yeah,
go ahead and repeat that. I don't know. That happens sometimes.
What happened?
It happens sometimes to various.
It sounded like you got drowned out, like a wave just hit you.
Never heard that before. That was wild.
You were at my stadium in Hawaii, and a wave just hit you on the North Shore.
Now go to Dan's dome, so we don't have any more. It had nothing to do with you. But go ahead and repeat that stat about 11 points per game.
All right, seven tight ends last year averaged at least 11 PPR points per game. That sounds good on the surface. Only one of them was young, and it was Laporta at 23. I think we need to hope for and then see guys like Kincaid, McBride. And McBride, to be fair, he averaged 10.7 on the season.
He was 14.6 points per game to close the year after.
Exactly. So he almost counts as somebody that averages 11, and he's 24. We need to see these younger tight ends start to evolve a little bit more, and then the tight end position will be really good for fantasy.
Well, I think what you're looking at is, you mentioned Kincaid. There's a big opportunity for him, and really anytime somebody was missing, whether it was Knox or Davis at the end of the season, he was fantastic. So Davis most likely gone. I think he's got a chance to be an absolute superstar. There's a couple guys that I think we haven't seen yet that have the chance to, you know, maybe step up to play a full season of this level. Two rookies last year in Musgrave and Mayer. Yep. You know, the opportunity is huge for those guys. And then we'll see where some of these free agents end up, because there'll probably be one guy that ends up in a spot that could be good. Dalton Schultz, for example, you know, leaving Houston if he does, could still be a viable option. So we're probably going to be, you know, 15 deep in terms of top 12 options. Clearly there's going to be a separation of, you know, where the top five or six go comparatively to, you know, the rest of the group. But it feels like it's in a very good position, given the fact that Kelsey's on the way toward the end of his career, if not done. And some of these other guys that just haven't stepped up that we were hoping for, but it could be a bounce back season that we just talked about with Kyle Pitts.
Yeah. For me, it's Bowers.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Adam.
No.
I was going to say it's Bowers, Pitts, Musgrave, and Ferguson probably for me. I don't think I'll have to use any kind of major premium capital, get any of those guys. I think they'll all be ranked in the 10 to 12 range, 8 to 12 range once we get through this. And there's not a chance I'm going to be using a round three through six pick at this position.
What if you have to use one of those picks to get Bowers?
I'll just pass and I'll go to Ferguson or whoever or Musgrave guys I like. I haven't seen much value in drafting tight end. When we push the tight ends up into that round 3 to 6 range, I see a lot of busts over the years.
Right, Where did I get Hockenson faster in our draft this week, Jamie?
I don't know, but let's go faster. I'm sorry,
guys. It was like super late.
I've only read five.
That's going to be another option too. Is you'll take two tight ends. One of them's Hockenson, and then the other one's, you know, one of the late round guys that Dan's talking about.
All right, let's fire through some questions here. This is from from Johannes. With so many fantasy viable players on the Lions, who's going to be the worst value on the Lions come draft season?
Wow.
So in looking at, and I know he changed this, but I would have initially said David Montgomery, just based on Heath's ranking alone, and not to pick on Heath, but he did have him in his top 12 running backs. If you have to draft David Montgomery as top 12 running back, then I'm definitely out. Mm-hmm. In terms of value, it's probably going to be just based on the conversation we had, Laporta, and that he may get drafted too soon. Not that I don't think he should be the number one tight end, but I think people will still say, I want to have that position locked up and not have to think about it, the set it and forget it. And we may see him get drafted, I don't think as early as round 2, but maybe early in round 3, because that's when we start to see the drop off of the elite players to the second tier of players. And you say, okay, I'll take a quarterback here. And you may say, I'll pivot to take a tight end there. And I think round three might even be a little bit too soon, especially early round three for Laporta. So he might be the one that gets drafted too soon. If you're just going to say somebody's going to be a bust, then I think Gibbs is going to be the first one drafted. And there's bust potential there, because if Montgomery plays a full season, you may not get maximum potential from Jahmyr Gibbs like we saw when he was the full guy missing some time situation, missing some games last year with when Montgomery was out.
Mm-hmm. Gibbs was the last nine games of the season, just the regular season, not including the playoffs, number 10 running back per game. He was great, but he was only on pace for 245 touches and about 1,300 total yards, a little bit more than that. He was great, but again, as Jamie said, a lot of Montgomery. Next question. Dave, I need a name and city.
Bo from Eugene, Oregon.
Dear Amonra. Oh, wait. No, this question is from Germany. Sorry. So it's Bo from Germany.
Same thing.
I won't read the greetings. My friends and I started a 10-team dynasty league last year. And we're planning on expanding it to 12 teams. Did I read this? I think I did not read it. So. We're aiming at... are you answering that? Well, you actually listened to the episodes, so I respect that, Dan. Yeah. I think I meant to read it last Thursday, but didn't. We're aiming at conducting an expansion draft with the two new teams ahead of the rookie draft, very much like the NHL is conducting theirs. All right, so he needs to keep some players here. He has Mahomes, Bijan, Jonathan Taylor, Achan, Breece Hall, Devontae Smith, Chris Olave. This is a good team. Puka Nacua.
He's going to name every great player.
Trey McBride. T. Higgins, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Kyler Murray. Who do I keep? Let me see how many he gets. Six players. Wow.
Only keep six players?
You can only keep six?
That's it.
Can I be the expansion team?
Yeah. Really?
And it's a one QB league, so he's got to keep Mahomes, right?
So Kyler is easy to drop, yeah.
One QB, yeah, that's great. You immediately drop Kyler, but you can only keep six, so we actually got to pick the six you want to keep.
Got to keep Mahomes Puka. Got to keep Puka.
Mahomes, Bijan, Puka, lock those in, right?
Yes.
Breece Hall, for sure.
Breece Hall, lock that in. That's four locked in.
Why wouldn't you lock in Taylor?
Because you've got Devontae Smith and Chris Olave.
Why wouldn't you lock
in Taylor? Wait, just so I understand this. He's not losing all these players potentially. He could, but he's not necessarily guaranteed.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. I guess, yeah, I would. I mean.
So it's either you're prioritizing all your running backs and just saying, right, I'll take my chances at receiver, aside from maybe Puka.
Well, no, I don't think you keep HN no matter what over Smith or Olave, do you?
He's young. I mean, he could be a stud.
Yeah.
I don't know that you keep. Yeah. I don't know that you. Look, it's a three receiver league, too. And I guess you're keeping Puka, but. If you're keeping Bijan and Breece Hall, are you really keeping a third running back in a dynasty league? We know what this position is over Devontae Smith and Chris Olave.
He has arguably the one in the two in dynasty at that position. So there's no chance I'm giving up Bijan and Breece Hall.
No, that's fine. Yeah, no, yeah,
we lock those in. It's a matter of, do you keep Achane and Taylor with them?
I keep those two. I keep Puka. Do you keep Mahomes?
That's a good question in a 10-team, 1-QB dynasty.
No, it's now 12. It's going to 12.
Oh, 12-team, yeah.
I'm keeping
still a good question. I still think I keep Mahomes.
All right, so let's say
Mahomes,
I'm keeping
two running backs and Puka. So who are the other two?
If I'm keeping Bijan, Taylor, Achane, Breece Hall, and Puka.
No, Achan's not guaranteed.
Let's say I'm guaranteeing him.
I'm not.
Wait a sec.
If we were starting a dynasty draft right now, all those guys would be top 30 picks.
Yeah, but Olave would go ahead of Achane.
Mahomes wouldn't be. The question is, if you're if you're throwing Mahomes back,
Mahomes would 100% be
in a top 30.
I think so. Maybe.
All right, so fine. You'd keep him over Smith. You would draft him over Olave or Devontae Smith. It comes down to Olave versus Mahomes.
Over Mahomes.
Yeah.
What about Trey McBride? Is he not part of this?
How do you let that guy go in a dynasty league?
Well, yeah, Adam, I know some people will think about Trey McBride. He wouldn't be in my consideration here over these guys, but I know that's a name to consider as well.
Okay, we can.
And then listen, he'll still have Higgins. For whatever it's worth, he'll still have Watson.
Not guaranteed.
He'll still have Reed. Well, if he's only losing three guys. Three per team get taken by the expansion teams.
Right. So some of those guys
are all of these other guys.
All right, listen, I'm going to let's each give
I'm
an answer.
I'm keeping running backs. I'm keeping Mahomes, and I'm keeping Puka.
I'm keeping Mahomes, Puka.
Puka, Mahomes, Bijan, Breece, McBride, and Olave.
I'm going Mahomes, Bijan, Breece, Puka, Olave, and Smith.
I'm going with those exact ones, except not Smith. Instead, I'm going to go Jonathan Taylor. So, all right. I think you've got four or five that are at least consensus there.
That's good.
William Cole asks, if Devontae Adams reunites with Aaron Rodgers in New York City, how does this affect everyone's value, basically?
Yeah.
Makes Rodgers more attractive, but still not a top 12 quarterback. Adams becomes wide receiver 20 in that range at best. And Wilson is probably wide receiver 18.
Oh, I go Adams over Wilson in that scenario, personally.
Yeah, not at his age for me.
That I understand. I just think the rapport will win out there.
Okay, let's take a break. We got a lot to talk about, including a very iffy choice that I made at a New York City diner that Dan wants to ridicule me for. I think it was a perfectly fine choice, but it was the worst sandwich I've ever had in my life. And that is not a joke. Plus, we have a lot of questions. We have one about Khalil Herbert.
Sandwiches you like are bad, so I can't wait to hear this.
I also like Adams. Bad. Like, I think it was a good decision, and then follows it up with it was the worst sandwich I've ever had in my life.
It wasn't my fault. It was bad execution. The decision was
It was predictable. You went to it. We'll go on. We'll go.
You go for it on fourth down, and the running back drops the pass. It's not the play call. It's the execution. All right. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
We are back with our mailbag. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com is the email address. Robbie wants to know what our thoughts are on the Bears' backfield next year. Khalil Herbert looked really good at the end of the year, but what about Roschon Johnson? And before you guys answer, let me give this stat. In his career, Khalil Herbert has 11 games with 16 or more carries. He has rushed for 72 or more yards in 10 of them. He has rushed for 97 or more yards in 7 of those 11 games. And also in 7 of those 11 games, Khalil Herbert has scored 15.9 or more PPR fantasy points. He's been pretty damn good when he's gotten the work. Dave, what are your thoughts on the Bears running backs next year?
As it stands now, I would expect a split between Herbert and Roschon. I think the coaching staff, which is mostly still in place, likes Roschon as a passing downs back. Maybe doesn't quite have the explosion that they would want to have from a feature back. And I don't know if Herbert necessarily has a lot of that. But you mentioned just how well Herbert has run the ball when given the opportunity. I think they could also address the position, either in free agency or the draft. Foreman is a free agent. Maybe they bring him back on the cheap. But there will probably be 3 running backs in total that we'll be looking at in Chicago.
Oh, boy. Someone's not happy with me. Joshua in the chat says, Adam would rather talk about his diner experience than check in with his live chat of subscribers. Now, I will read some of your YouTube questions at the end of the show. But this is the mailbag show, and we talk about stupid stuff a lot.
Yeah, things get funky on the mailbag. Most people enjoy it. Sorry, you will get your questions answered, though. Don't worry. If Adam doesn't do it, I can do it.
Listen, I'm just going to say it, Dan. I don't think ordering a chicken parm sandwich at a diner is risky. They should be able to make
that. It's very risky. First of all, let me just explain to you what happened. This is like me going to McDonald's and being like, I wanted my burger medium rare. Look at what I got. He goes to a dingy diner that he finds around the garden, which you know is not a hotbed for great food. He goes, and when you're at a diner, what do you think is going on back there? You think Nona is back there pounding the chicken breast and making the cutlets, putting them in, and you know, Here's the flour. Here's the breadcrumbs. I'll put some panko. Let's fry it up. Oh, a sauce. Let's make our sauce from scratch. And no, this is day old sauce. Maybe even out of a jar. This chicken cutlet is just frozen stuff. That's like, what are you doing, dude? You don't go to a diner for Italian food for chicken parm. Of course you woke up with a stomach ache. Of course it was terrible tasting going down.
I didn't wake up with a stomach ache. What are you talking about? It just was bad.
I added that in just for fun. I added that in.
You got the cookies.
No.
What are you expecting? Like a diner in New York City by the garden.
I don't know what you're
doing. It's not going to be able to have chicken parm. When you go to that, you get a burger. That's it. A burger.
The breakfast was good. My kids' food. Pancakes were good. My wife got eggs. Those were breakfast food.
That's the other route. You go breakfast food or you go burger, and that's it.
So this was the day.
You don't go chicken parm. You don't need to go anything at like specific to, you know, like a
culture.
Cuisine.
Yeah. I was eating it and I was like, this is weird. They put salsa on this chicken parm. I'm looking like
it's salsa.
Yeah. So
salsa
I took it
on a chicken
all
parm?
It was so gross. I was like,
is that on the menu?
I said to my wife, I must have missed this on the menu. Like that there's salsa on it. So then at the end of the meal, I asked the waiter, I was like, is this salsa? And he's like, no, it's tomato sauce. It was so bad that it looked, tasted, smelled like salsa. I really think it was salsa.
They probably put salsa by mistake.
If only anyone could have predicted this 3-day-old jarred sauce was going to go bad at a diner and not order it in the first place.
Look at this comment here. Adam, stick to the Mount Kisco Diner. Honestly, that's what the problem was. I live near the Mount Kisco Diner. It is hands down the best diner in the country. It's not even a diner. It's like high-end diner. It's so good. And they will make a great chicken parm. So I really need to make sure I don't take my orders from the Mount Kisco Diner to other diners. All right. Back to the show from Brian. Barbecue is perfect for a party. As I was going to do barbecue, I've actually scrapped that idea. It was $600. I was like, yeah, I don't think we're doing barbecue. We host every year.
Do they go with your arts and farts party?
Not my party, Jamie. Someone else's party. They're doing arts and crafts. We host the Super Bowl party every year, and
What were the choices again to call it?
Oh gosh,
Sparts and Crafts,
Sports and Crafts, or Sparts and Crafts.
I like Arts and Farts.
Arts and Farts is so much better.
If anyone has ever seen Wet Hot American Summer, then you're laughing at this Arts and Farts joke. When New York hosted, we did a deli theme: smoked turkey and roast beef. We made pastrami. It was great. This year, Vegas is a melting pot, so we're using Kansas City and San Fran cuisine. I like that, though. I like host city determining your cuisine. I like that.
Yeah, but there isn't a food that Vegas is known for.
That's why they're doing San Francisco and Kansas
City. Unless you just have open bar at the party.
Buffet.
Instead of a buffet.
Yeah, you can do a buffet. I'll show up.
Question from Scott. 10-team, non-PPR, 2 quarterback, 3 receivers, no flex. I need to keep 5. Again, 10-team, non-PPR, 2 quarterback, 3 receivers. I need to keep 5. Okay, he's got Tua, Trevor Lawrence, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, Devontae Smith, Bijan Robinson, David Montgomery, and Sam Laporta. Oof. Let's pick.
Only 5?
Yeah.
And it's 2 QB, 3 wide receivers, no flex, no PPR.
I mean, Lamb is obvious. Laporta's obvious.
Sure.
Bijan's obvious. All right, we need 2 more, guys. It's a 2QB league. We need 2 more out of Tua, Lawrence, Ayuk, Devontae, David Montgomery.
Tua and Lawrence for me.
Yeah, you got to keep the quarterbacks.
I actually think I would keep... No, I think Jamie nailed it. You got to keep Laporta over those 2 receivers.
Question, how hard would it be to find a quarterback close to the level of Tua or Trevor?
I'm not keeping both.
That's a good point, Dave.
It's only a 10-team league. It doesn't sound like it's a dynasty league. Sounds like it's a regular
team. Oh, it's not dynasty? Okay, yeah.
No, I think you're going to be able to find a quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to be able to improve on those quarterbacks. I don't know what your draft position is. And if
he'll probably be able to either get one of those back or a rookie. So
I think I might.
Yeah, you can definitely get a rookie.
Yeah, I think I might leave Lawrence off and keep Ayuk instead.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
All right, next question from Adam, who says, best name out there. Give up 10-team.
Well, there goes all the Dan questions that you didn't answer.
I hate my name, by the way. 10-team, half PPR, tight end.
Why do you hate the name Adam?
It's so boring. I mean, it's literally the oldest name in the book.
What would you have preferred? what would you have preferred? I don't understand.
Yeah, if you could change your name and wipe Adam off.
Be careful what you say, because we're going to call you this for the rest of the day.
No, I would have preferred.
Would you go with Myron?
No, I would have. I would have preferred Andrew, which is what I was almost named, which I ended up naming my son. So
you would be an Andy, I feel like, if you were.
I would not be an Andy. No,
you would not be an Andy, but you might be the type of guy who's like, I want to go by Andrew at all times.
Oh, I still have to send you a picture to put behind you.
And I wouldn't be Drew either. I've been trying to get it. I've been like trying to find time to go to Staples and get a huge picture of Jamie behind me. But all right, give up Bijan and Zay Flowers for Justin Jefferson in a 10-team half PPR tight end premium league.
Oh, tight end premium doesn't play here. Wow!
Thank you for that clarification, Dan.
I'm processing things in my head, Adam. I'm a little bit slower than you. You have to give me a little bit of time. I would keep Jefferson. I would take Jefferson. Yeah,
I'd go Bijan and Flowers. What if Flowers is great? You know, he's got a chance to be great, and Bijan I think is great. But
Bijan could be really
not easy here. All right, so that's two different votes. Jamie, what are you doing? Bijan and Flowers or Jefferson?
Jefferson.
Dave? Does it say how many receivers you need to start?
No.
No.
We just know it's a tight end premium. I think I would lean toward Jefferson as well.
And this is from Mike, a nerd.
He may also be tight end eligible at some point, so you get points that way.
Jefferson. Jamie shared that he gives university level economics lectures relevant to fantasy football.
And that's exactly what I shared. Yeah.
We just let that slip by. This is incredible. We need an episode to hear what he has to say. Better yet, a lecture series. What do you think, Jamie? You ready for your lecture series?
I mean, I'm going to my second college to give a speech to an economics club. Like, it's mind boggling that that will even happen.
Professor Eisenberg,
mind-boggling.
When are you publishing your series on fantasy football, your laureate or whatever? I don't even know because I'm an idiot. But like, what do intelligent people in college do?
Well, I'll be around a lot of intelligent people, so I'll ask them because I'm.
Yeah, you can. Don't ask me. No, but like, I'm killing myself here thinking about this. I just like thinking about Jamie with a pipe going in front of like 400 person lecture halls.
That's what I'm thinking about.
They're expecting like economics. Like he's going to tell you the secrets to the stock market and like making 10 times your money. And he'll be like, Bijan Robinson.
I've done this a few times now at Florida Atlantic University. And I usually just walk up there extremely unprepared. I send a bunch of like fantasy football statistics, like about the industry, to my friend who makes a PowerPoint that I don't even look at before I even go up there. And I said, let's go to the slides. I usually put in a video that kills 5 minutes of like one of our shows. Like, so maybe this one will apply.
There you go. Talking about this.
But, like, to get an example of like what it's like to talk on camera and do those things. Not that I do that well either. And then, then we just talk football.
It's your thesis. That's what I'm saying.
The thesis.
That's what you have to write up, your thesis.
Oh,
could you imagine?
Fantasy football as it relates to world economics.
Could you imagine having to write a thesis? I am so glad I did not have a major that required.
I couldn't even say a sentence correctly about writing a thesis.
So Adam, you majored in acting?
No.
Theater. What was the other one that you started
I majored
with?
In broadcast journalism as part of this. Dave knows this. If you majored in anything communications at Miami, you needed a second major. So my second major originally was economics, which I loved. And freshman year was great. sophomore year, my first semester, economics got really hard and really 8 a.m. in the morning here, 8 a.m. in the morning. And I was really tired and really not into it. I knew what I was going to end up doing. It was going to be comm school and communication stuff anyway. So I was like, nope, this is it. We're done. So then I changed my second major to theater arts. And I spell it T-H-E-A-T-R-E. Yeah. Not E-R. So, you know, I'm legit. And I basically used that time to focus on theater management, which was I sat in the box office and sold tickets to our shows.
Can I ask a question that's very important for both myself and the listeners? Is there any footage that we can recover of you in a play or acting?
No, I never did any. Since I was in one class, and I'll never forget, this was my favorite teacher, actually. And the first day, or one of the first days, he made us stand in a circle, and we had an invisible beach ball, and we had to bop it over to somebody. And as you bopped it over to somebody, you had to make a sound like meh or whatever. And whoever caught your beach ball had to imitate your sound and then do their own sound, new sound, and send it to someone else. Like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into here?
This was a college level class?
It was
no wonder why they're asking Amy to give lectures in econ.
I'm going to use this in my my speech. Hey, I'm going to pretend to hit a beach ball at you. Make a sound.
And then at the end, Jamie will say, that'll be $2,000.
Yeah, and so that was one of the things. I did like acting in classes, but no, I never was in a play. I had to volunteer to be an usher at the play, hang lights at the plays. Oh, I hate it.
Just so we understand your formative years, you're the backup goalie on soccer team, never played.
That's true.
You were a theater major, never acted.
Yep. But I did a lot of I did a lot of broadcasting.
Dan, are you like me? Are you picturing Adam in like Shakespearean era?
I was
clothes?
Hoping, man.
Are
I was
you picturing
hoping
me in a pipe and Adam.
I was hoping I could
like Jamie's a professor. Adam's doing Shakespeare. Dan's complaining about diner food, and I'm eating diner food.
Yeah.
I don't think I've liked one. I think I liked Hamlet. I hated Shakespeare. That was high school, though. Like every Shakespeare play that I had to read,
I've never read or seen a Shakespeare play.
You've never been to high school?
We didn't do it in our high school. Was that like a class you had?
I'm going to the theater this weekend.
Part of very English. What are you seeing?
No, I'm not saying I wouldn't like it. I'm sure
Fiddler on the Roof.
Okay.
Oh, is that Shakespeare? No, I'm just kidding.
I want to see Book of Mormon. Yeah, there he is, Billy Madison.
Billy Madison with the skull. Yes, I love it. All right, here's a question. From Krana, who asked us about the double dipping yesterday. Between Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Dan.
Oh, Dan definitely would be the double dipper.
I don't think so.
No, I don't double dip, but I will say that I don't care if somebody double dips because I don't really believe in, I'm not a big, it's just not something that's going to bother me if I see it.
If you four were in a haunted house, who would lead the way out?
Not Dave. I've seen him drive.
Me, right?
I think it would have to be Adam.
Yeah, I think Dave. It would be me. Yeah. Why did you say that?
No, Adam would run away crying.
No, I like haunted. I like scary stuff.
Oh, haunted house. I didn't even think.
Dan get to bring his toilet with him because that's the only time I've ever seen him.
What about the time when you took me out and I had that stick with a burger?
Dan would lead us to the bathroom. I would lead us out of the house.
I would lead us to the bathroom.
Let's see.
Listen, I'm speaking in economics classes. I'll get you out.
Oh, does Jamie bring up the stick and the burger conundrum when he gives his presentation?
Oh. Oh, I might. Yeah. Maybe there's an economical way to eat a hamburger.
Let's see. Matt wants to know, when will Adam acknowledge my warning regarding the Eagles back in week 10? So Matt's a long time, very dedicated listener. I don't specifically remember what you said, but apparently I said, no, Jalen Hurts is fine. He's QB2 rest of season. And I don't guess he wasn't. But were there some warning signs for the Eagles that we need to be taking more seriously going into 2024? That'd be my question.
Yes.
Yeah. And should maybe Jalen Hurts not be QB2?
Well, I mean, first off, we got to see if the tush push is banned. That's huge.
Yeah.
Jason Kelce retiring is huge, so loss of, I mean, they kind of go hand in hand in a way. I think there are some things to be a little bit concerned about. We saw Shane Steichen's absence, and is Kellen Moore the answer? Because last year, Brian Johnson, I don't think necessarily brought out the best of Jalen Hurts. Not that he was bad, but it just wasn't as good as it was the previous season. So there are some warning signs, but you still look at what he does with his legs. The rushing touchdowns are huge. He still has an amazing receiving core. And we don't know what the backfield looks like. So, yeah, he's still a top three quarterback. I don't think he's going to slip past, let's say, 4 or 5 at worst. A.J. Brown's still a star. Devontae Smith's still a very good number two receiver. Dallas Goedert's borderline top 12 tight end. I mean, there's still a lot to love about the situation.
I think back to what the Eagles-Dallas game from this year, and then what Nick Bosa said after, right before the Eagles-49ers game. And he was like, look, if you watch the tape, there's a way to play Jalen Hurts. And it's to pass rush him in a certain way where you don't allow him to run the B gap. And after that, and then it's the same thing that happened with Daniel Jones. And after that, you start to see these quarterbacks look at the pass rush, start to see them break the pocket to the right and roll right, cutting off half the field. It's not good. And we'll see what happens with Hurts, but I have definite concerns there.
It's also a lack of, I think, seeing the field in general. I mean, he's yes, definitely, every time he's on the move, he's looking downfield. And not that that's a huge issue, but it's not the best way to operate. We saw Dallas Goedert really get frustrated with him. Yep. I think it was a playoff loss, you know, where he's wide open on a key third down or fourth down, whatever it was. And Jalen Hurts didn't even look at him.
Yep.
By the way, Matt,
speaking of predictions that you were right on middle of the season, Adam on FFT and 5 yesterday. These were the two things he got right, Dave.
Okay.
That he said he got right. I was right on Travis Etienne. This is what okay. I'm That's speaking fair. As Adam. What I was right on Travis Etienne.
Wait, can I do it?
No.
You're going to say it wrong. You've already said it wrong. I was saying I drafted a lot
you
of Travis.
Never interrupt the professor while he's in the middle.
I drafted a lot of Travis.
In the corner.
I drafted a lot of Travis Etienne. I was right about that. I think he had finished his RB7 or 8 per game. So that was a good pick for me.
I thought you were saying about trading
that
Etienne.
That was the other thing. I was also right about saying to sell high on him midseason. So I was right about
it
twice.
And then where's the asterisk?
But I didn't actually make any trades involving Travis Etienne. But I did tell everybody else to.
So yeah.
I think that was legit. All right. So I want to give a shout out to Matt who asked that question. He says, typing with my pointer finger under my desk. Someone said, why is your pointer finger under your desk? And I know he's at work and he doesn't want to get caught. So my thumb has a cut and my office door is open. And then someone said, HR has entered the chat. So he is sneaking in chat questions right now under the desk. I love it. All right. Do we have any other questions? I love it. The guy was like, does Adam pay attention to anything here? And not one person has asked the fantasy
question.
Probably
left because you were talking about your stupid sandwich.
No, that needed to be discussed.
Dan was very intent on discussing the sandwich.
It's just such a bad decision.
Hi, yes. Can I have the salsa parmesan? It's like salsa chicken, please.
Again, it's like you go to McDonald's and you're like, oh, my burger was well done.
You know, McDonald's basically cooks the burger the same way every single time. So
did you see there's somebody either TikTok or Twitter posted?
I saw that, Jamie. It's so gross.
That they found a McDonald's bag.
No, she kept a bag of McDonald's in her closet for 20 years.
There was no mold on the hamburger, the bun,
or the fries.
Nothing changed about the look of the burger or the fries.
Ugh.
How do you keep a sandwich for 20 years?
She just put it in her closet in a McDonald's bag and just left it there.
And forget who does.
No, I think
that?
She did it as an experiment.
And it looked exactly the same.
How did that not stink up her house?
I would think, and I don't know, like they're not a sponsor or anything, but I would think that the meat would that they use now, 20 years later, would probably go moldy. The fries wouldn't.
No
like
shot.
How many
no
times
shot.
Do you find a French fry in the back
my
of
life
your car
that what you
seat?
Just said is wrong, Adam. There's no shot we went the less chemical route as time went on. There's no shot.
Oh, you got to let Dave answer this one because he's probably had it twice the same thing.
Best steak in Boca. Best steak in Boca.
Oh, of course, steak. I don't know. I don't love any of the places in Boca.
New York Prime's good. Abe and Louise is good.
What are each of your favorite Seinfeld quotes?
Oh.
They're real and they're spectacular.
That is a great
Yeah, one. That would be yours.
I love
that would definitely be Jamie's, but
I love the John Lovitz episode where he's like, good for you, Jack. He's like, George, you got a rug. Good for you, Jack. That's like that scene is my favorite scene.
My favorite is, and you want to be my latex salesman.
That's good.
I don't know if I have a favorite quote. I'm trying to think.
There's so many. First of all, there's an obscure one where George just yells Twix, like in anger because he tried to trick everybody at a car dealership.
Oh, the candy bar lineup.
Candy bar lineup. Right. That's one of my absolute favorite episodes. And then when Elaine wants to make love to Jerry to save their friendship. Yeah. Uh-huh. And Jerry goes, sex to save the friendship.
Yep. Adams would definitely be, it was a scratch. Oh, Dan, you missed it. Recreate what you did.
What? Recreate what?
When you use your sleeve as a tissue.
Oh this? I went like this. I think that's
like,
what
he's, like he's five.
Oh, I had an itch on my nose. I itched it with my sleeve.
Who itches with their sleeve?
I itch my nose a lot.
Now you don't have kids. You don't have kids. That's what every child under the age of five does.
Things to do. Yeah. I mean, look, Adam.
It's true. It's true. All right. We're out of here, everybody. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And thanks for your questions. I was in the pool. I was in the pool. Yeah, that's a good
that's
one.
Yeah, that's a good one. The jerk store called. They want more of you.
All right. We will talk to you tomorrow with our big Super Bowl preview. Game of the week. See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.